You couldn't ask for a better jazz legacy than John Pizzarelli's. His dad, Bucky, is one of the most respected guitarists of a period in jazz history when all the greatest artists were thriving at the same time. What's remarkable about his career as both a guitarist and a singer is the way he's built on the lessons of his dad's generation to create a very contemporary take on a classic style. John is one of the very best at what he does, and he's with us this morning. Good morning, John.
That's just how I wrote it. Fantastic.
Well, of course. It's just how I read it,
too. That's right. Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Well, you know, I was thinking about your legacy, and you're very much a modern artist, but you've got a lot stronger roots in the history of jazz than most, I would say.
Yeah, well, I guess being around it, like we were talking off the air, it's just that in my house, I was just privy to see Joe Venuti and Zoot Sims and Joe Pass and Les Paul and
they're all legendary names
playing that kind of music. And and then my father was part of the studios, actually the big bands of the 40s and early 50s, and then the studios of the 50s and 60s, and then jazz as it progressed with, you know, Benny Goodman, and then into small group jazz in New York City and around the world after that. So I've seen a lot of different things happening.
And, you know, we forget that it was a wonderful time for musicians in that the TV networks had their own in-house orchestras.
Oh, yeah.
And you could make a living as a guitar player going down to NBC and working every
day. My father was on staff at NBC and ABC when he was in the Dick Cavett Orchestra, when that was an amazing band, too. That's when Eddie Daniels, the great clarinetist and saxophonist, came to New York.
Yeah.
And was in a band that already had Walt Levinsky and Phil Bodner and guys in it, and you know, he was like second chair to those guys. It was like crazy, the bands that was that were making music on the air back then.
Well, and the whole jazz process, which is now something that's learned in schools, but in your dad's day, it was something that was learned around your living room as these guys sat around and kicked it around.
Yeah,
right?
It's just listening to records. The thing, my father was laughing the other day. I was playing a Johnny Smith record called Jaguar with Stan Getz and Johnny Smith on it, and I was able to put it in this program in my iPad to slow it down so I could play, because it goes and I was going
right.
And he goes, "You cheated, you slowed it down, you cheated."
Well, those kind of tricks were not available to your dad when
yes.
he was learning.
Well, if you went down to 16 from 33 and a third, you could
That's
do it,
right.
But it changed the whole pitch.
We used to do that. Yeah, go bro.
That's how you could hear the chipmunks were actual real people.
I remember those days.
I'm sure there's about 12 people out there going, "What are they talking about? Turntables and 16 and 33 three and a third."
But you know, it was a great oral tradition, and you obviously benefited from that growing up.
Yeah, and I did my learning on the job with my dad. I mean, I remember even one of my first gigs where I was, you know, my father and I had our four songs because we were going to do like 20 minutes, so we played these four songs, and then Zoot Sims was coming out to play three songs with us. And before the gig, my father said, "Zoot, what are you?" I said, "You should check so I know what we're, you know."
Yeah.
And he said something like, "Stomp of the Savoy." I said, "I got that." He said something else. And then he said, "Ghost of a Chance." And I went, "Ding." I said, "That one, I don't know that one."
Yeah.
And so my father would, you know, tug on Zoot's and say, "Why don't you just run that over real quick for me?" And Zoot would play it. And my father would just be playing the chords, sitting behind me going, you know, "Hear the chords. Open your ears." And it was ear training by fire.
Yeah. It certainly was. And, you know, the role of the guitar in your dad's day was really kind of the spine of a big band. Yeah
inside the rhythm section, like Freddie Green, you know.
Yeah,
you hear all that kind of inside whenever, you know, boom, doom, doom, doom,
four
doom,
to the bar,
doom, doom, doom. Yeah.
Well, there's a remark that the guitarist Jim Hall once made. He said, "If you prune the tree of jazz guitar, what you'd have left would be Freddie Green."
Yeah, it's true.
Right?
That's right.
But he could also have said Bucky Pizzarelli, because
I think
it's
so.
That same thing of just...
It's really amazing, because as I grew up, the more that I needed him on my records, and then my father would bring these acoustic guitars and play rhythm, and I knew something special was going on. And then as I got older, and he was on some of my more recent records, nobody in the studio would talk to me. They would all be over at my father with nine mics and setting up. I'm going, you know, "I'm going to be singing on this." "Oh, don't worry, let's get another mic on Bucky." "Gee, Bucky sure sounds good. Did anybody hear me sing that?" And it was just because it was so special what he was doing. He played these intros inside play these little things. We did the Paul McCartney record, you know, and he played rhythm guitar on that.
Uh-huh.
And everybody was like staring at him going, Oh, my God. Maybe we should have called him first. Yeah.
Well, it's you get over it after a while.
Yeah, I am. I'm totally over it.
Listen, John, while
people
we've
are over
you,
me, I mean, if you heard the records.
Let me get you to just play a little bit, can
sure.
you?
Sure. Can I play a little something?
Please do.
I got rhythm. I got music. I got my gal who could ask for anything more. I got daisies in green pastures. I got my gal who could ask for anything more. Old man Trouble, I don't mind him. You won't find him at my door. I got starlight, I got sweet dreams. I got my gal who could ask for anything more. Who could ask for anything more? Well, I got rhythm, I got music, I got my gal who could ask for anything more. Who could ask for anything more?
My. That was spectacular.
Well, it's the morning. You got to get right to it.
You got right to it. And, you know, a great choice of a tune because that's the tune that has infinite variations in jazz,
it's
right?
It's like right at the foundation of from swing right on through to today.
I wonder if the Gershwins knew what they had wrought when they created that tune.
I think George Gershwin would be flabbergasted.
Yeah.
In a good way.
About 300 different ways to play this song.
That's right.
You know? And I think you played just about all of them.
I tried to, yeah.
But no, that was really terrific.
Well, thank you.
And so how do you, what happened to those songs? Are they still around?
Oh, yeah, I think they are. And as you say, in many different variations, and like Indiana is Don Lee.
So you can keep that
alive.
Like
Whispering is a Dizzy Gillespie song for whispering. I mean, there's old songs with it's amazing.
Well, John, my hope is that tradition continues for, you know, many decades longer. Thanks very much for joining us.
Certainly will as long as I'm around.
Good. John Pizzarelli will perform on Maui tomorrow night at the Maui Arts and Cultural Center, Saturday night at the Hawaii Theater with his quartet in tandem with Hawaii's own Hot Club of Hulaville. And details are at hpr2.org.
Happy as can be, you know she says so.